Kenyon had built the chest himself. A mahogany hope chest, lined with cedar, which he intended to give Beverly as a wedding present. Now, working on it in the so-called den in the basement, he applied a last coat of varnish. The furniture of the den, a cement-floored room that ran the length of the house, consisted almost entirely of examples of his carpentry. Shelves, tables, stools, a ping-pong table, and Nancy's needlework. Chintz slip covers that rejuvenated a decrepit couch, curtains, pillows bearing legends, "Happy," and "You don't have to be crazy to live here, but it helps." Together, Kenyon and Nancy had made a paint-splattered attempt to deprive the basement room of its unremovable dourness, and neither was aware of failure. In fact, they both thought their den a triumph and a blessing. Nancy because it was a place where she could entertain the gang without disturbing her mother, and Kenyon because here he could be alone, free to bang, saw, and mess with his inventions, the newest of which was an electric deep-dish frying pan. Adjoining the den was a furnace room, which contained a tool-littered table piled with some of his other works in progress, an amplifying unit, an elderly wind-up Victrola that he was restoring to service. Kenyon resembled neither of his parents physically. His crew-cut hair was hemp-colored, and he was 6 feet tall and lanky, though hefty enough to have once rescued a pair of full-grown sheep by carrying them 2 miles through a blizzard. Sturdy, strong, but cursed with a lanky boy's lack of muscular coordination. This defect, aggravated by an inability to function without glasses, prevented him from taking more than a token part in those team sports, basketball, baseball, that were the main occupation of most of the boys who might have been his friends. He had only one close friend, Bob Jones, the son of Taylor Jones, whose ranch was a mile west of the Clutter home. Out in rural Kansas, boys start driving cars very young. Kenyon was 11 when his father allowed him to buy, with money he had earned raising sheep, an old truck with a Model A engine. The Coyote Wagon, he and Bob called it. Not far from River Valley Farm, there is a mysterious stretch of countryside known as the Sand Hills. It is like a beach without an ocean, and at night coyotes slink among the dunes, assembling in hordes to howl. On moonlit evenings, the boys would descend upon them, set them running, and try to outrace them in the wagon. They seldom did, for the scrawniest coyote can hit 50 miles an hour, whereas the wagon's top speed was 35. But it was a wild and beautiful kind of fun, the wagon skidding across the sand, the fleeing coyotes framed against the moon. As Bob said, it sure made your heart hurry. Equally intoxicating and more profitable were the rabbit roundups the two boys conducted. Kenyon was a good shot and his friend a better one, and between them they sometimes delivered 50 rabbits to the rabbit factory, a Garden City processing plant that paid 10 cents a head for the animals, which were then quick frozen and shipped to mink growers. But what meant most to Kenyon, and Bob too, was their weekend, overnight hunting hikes along the shores of the river. Wandering, wrapping up in blankets, listening at sunrise for the noise of wings, moving toward the sound on tiptoe, and then, sweetest of all, swaggering homeward with a dozen duck dinners swinging from their belts.